Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to Mother and Daughter Roundtables. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here with mothers and daughters around the world. It's a wonderful day to be alive. Thank God. Thank you. Where do we get going today? Let's see. Looking for my co-host. I don't see anybody today. Everybody might be sleeping in. Make sure it is Saturday. Well, I'm here. The Father's here. Jesus here. The Holy Spirit's here. So, and you are here. So here we go. Oh, my God. Father God, I just want to thank you this morning. Thank you for a wonderful opportunity to serve you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this wonderful project you have us on. You could have chosen anyone, but you asked me to lead the team, to spread the word of matriarchs now around the world, the importance of the matriarch to the family. And I thank you, Father, for allowing me to be a part of such a wonderful, wonderful mission. And Father God, I ask you this morning just to touch each mother and daughter around the world, father and son. Father, just let them know that you love them. Whatever is going on, they can always come to you and find rest and peace and find an answer to their problems. You know, nothing is too big and too hard for God. And we have to get that. You would not have made us to have us to suffer. You made us to have a life of love and peace and joy and happiness. We should be running around like little kids in the garden, butterflies, talking to the animals, even the snakes dancing around. That's the garden of Eden, peace, love. You just wanted to see us happy. And since that's not where we are, you sent Jesus to rebuild that garden within our spirits, within our minds. And we can find those things right here on earth in the midst of all the chaos. So, Father God, I just thank you for loving us. I thank you for your patience, because we are some children to deal with. We are so much out of order, and you still love us. You could destroy us and start all over again. You can build a new family anytime you want, but you chose to work with us. And Father God, I just ask you, for myself, I can only speak for me, to work with me. Thank you for giving me chance after chance after chance to get it right. Thank you for loving us that much to send your son to bring the message, to tell us what you're saying, how to live, and that the joy is still here if we choose to accept it. And that's through Jesus Christ. And I love you and appreciate you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. The Garden of Eden is right here. Hasn't gone anywhere. Been tainted, yes. Things that we see that's before our eyes, we tend to want to believe what we see. and that give us sight, and we start moving around and being subjective to what we see, when what we see is not what it really is. What it is faith. Seeing things through your spirit. The things that you see through your spirit are the things that you will experience in your life. The things that you see in the world are the things that already been created by someone else. And you learning to adapt to those. That's why he keeps saying you're not of the world. You're in it, but you're not of it. Think about it. The things that you have seen in your spirit that have manifested in your physical world have been some of the greatest experiences of your life. But if you see something that's already exists, that's not faith from you, because you didn't create that. You adapt to living around that. But I believe Jesus came to tell us we all have our own little worlds. We are little gods with little worlds, and we can create that. You know, I notice when people get on Facebook and social media, you know, they are acting as if when they post something on there that the whole world sees it. Oh, I want the world to see me. I'm all of a sudden, I'm a star. I'm putting it out there, and Facebook around the world is seeing it. And that's not true. The people that see it are the people that's in your little Facebook world. The people that's in your group. You know, that's all. If you got 20 people in the group, that's 20 people. If you got 200, that's 200 people. And they may see, some of their people may see it, but it's not to the world. Keep in mind, it's a little group that grows, and that group is your little Facebook world. Well, you got a world in your physical world. See, Facebook is an online world. Your physical world, think how many friends that you have. How many people that's in your circle? You probably can count about five outside of family. But what are you doing in that space? What are you doing in that space, in that world that you're creating? Because we're not going inside our spiritual world and birthing babies to experience in our physical world. But yet we complain about them. Lord, where are you? Lord, why you haven't done this? Why this is not happening fast enough? Because you're not birthing the baby. As a man thinketh, so is he. If you're not thinking about it, you can't be it. As the kids used to say, you got to be about it, or something like that. A little saying they used to say, you got to be about it. So to be about it is that you got to go inside. Everything is birthed from the inside out. On one of my books, I think it's Dream Recipe, I have on there, Progressing from Within. And that's when God gave me that lesson. Everything that you have, everything that you desire is inside of you. Now, it's up to you to birth the baby. And you birth babies all the time, but you don't think about it because they're little babies. You think about something, you know, I want that dress. I think, yeah, and you see yourself, you could see that dress on you or whatever it is that you want to wear, and you say, oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to put on. When I put that on, boy, I'm going to knock them out. When I walk in there, they're going to be like, wow. Because, see, first of all, you saw it, you spoke it. See, you got your words create your thoughts create your visions, and your visions will manifest into your reality. So you say it, you think about it, and in the thinking, your thoughts create a vision, and then you see it in your mind's eye, and you see how good that thing is going to look on you, and you say, this is what I'm going to put this with that and this with that. And then, see, you imagine it up in your mind and you're seeing it in your vision. And then when you put it together, it's like nobody can't touch you because, you know, I know I'm all of that. So when you walk in, You got confidence because you know you look good. And the thing that will burst your bubble is that nobody says you look good. You walk in the room and nobody don't say nothing. You be like, well, they see me. I saw me. And I created this and I put this together. But the minute somebody said, girl, you are wearing that. Oh, boy. Bam. There you go. You believe. If I do look good, I've got confirmation. But until somebody give you confirmation, you still have doubt. Even though you saw it, even though you know it, even though you feel it, you bring in doubt. But you don't get your confidence back to somebody give you a compliment. But that's your little world. So we can create this Garden of Eden in our world. We only have a certain amount of people that we're moving around with. We see people and their pods around the world. Everybody's got a little pod of people. And every once in a while, somebody from another pod will come into your life. You got to bring somebody over and introduce you to someone else. But for the most part, we only have, if you got 50 people in your whole circle, that's 50 people too many, really. But, you know, most of them family members, still too many. But you only have somewhere from 2 to 5 people that you interact with daily. The Holy Spirit started off with the prayer and ended up with that. And my co-hosts are on now, and I'll go back and pick them up. Hold 1 second. Good morning, Cynthia. Hello?
Good morning.
Oh, this is Deborah. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
All right. I'm clicking numbers here. Oh, good, good, good. Let's get Cynthia on. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. How are you, ladies? Good morning, audience.
Good morning. Doing good. All right. Deborah, how was your week?
I had a little, some concerns, a little dizziness. So I took a day off here, a day off there. Mm-hmm. Seen the doctor yesterday. So she said that everything was good. Just she gave me some pills to take for a couple of days for dizziness. And so I really had a short week and, you know, just home praying, God, whatever it is, fix it, Lord. This too shall pass. But what I noticed is, every time I'm getting ready to speak, I'm under attack. So I be kind of respecting it because he's mad, you know,
mm-hmm.
the enemy. He's mad that I'm going to give God glory in whatever I'm talking about. So it seems to be just something that's passing. I hadn't had it now in 2 days. So thank God he will have his will done if they got to carry me in there. And I see it out the side of my neck, you know, praise the Lord.
Even if they got to prop you up.
Prop me up, right?
I'm going so on anyway.
Gone anyway.
So where are you speaking?
We're having a women's conference in Miami at Miami-Dade campus for all returning citizens, meaning if you got anything on your record, on your history, you qualify for this event. If you're female, you qualify. We'll talk about some of the resources and the the obstacles and the hope. And the message is hope. But we you know, they got me on a panel. Me and three other ladies on a panel to tell our stories. That's kicking it off after breakfast, and then we go into workshops. So I'm excited about that. Then I don't have to travel. I just drive downtown, and it's a 2-day event. So it's for women, returning citizens, I'm just looking forward to, you know, being in the midst of people like me and encouraging one another, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. And I know it's going to be off the hook, because I know you got your, the Lord's going to move through you. We know how you do it. So, yeah, it's all right. It's all right. You're going to be just fine. All right,
amen.
Cynthia, how was your week? Hello? Well, we lost Cynthia.
I'm here. My week was productive. My week was telltale, if you will, with regards to just staying focused and being purposeful. One of our words that we are focusing on is implementing. I think that's the word, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, we are, my week was good because I was determined to be focused, and I am expanding Program REAP. I am executing what God has purposed in my heart. I'm like Deborah. I am so focused. I am focused, and that's what I've been doing this week, working with people. Had an interview with FSU, sharing Program REAP with them, and I'm just focused, Dr. Fletcher, doing what it is that God has pressed upon my heart. And like you said, Eden is right here on earth. When we learn to walk in what God has purposed in our hearts, we are more content. We are happier when we are not just clocking in on somebody else's clock and not doing what it is that he's purposed in our hearts to do. So I'm good. I had a great week. What about you?
Excellent week. I've been popping like popcorn all week long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explain that to the audience.
Because you saw the popcorn popping, didn't you?
I did.
When I said popping like popcorn, all you see is popcorn. Poop, 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 poop. That's that word. And then that thought came in, and then you got the vision, and you're like, man, I want some popcorn. When I get off from here, I'm going to get some popcorn. Power of suggestion. I had gotten all of our stuff ready for marketing, and our calendar and everything's ready now. And I looked at it and I said, okay, I was kind of like, all is done, Lord. Thank you. Felt the pressure came off of me a couple weeks ago, and I'm just kind of floating around in the daytime, doing a little this, getting a lot of phone calls and praying for a lot of people. And me, talking is my thing. So I'm moving into that. And then last weekend, the Lord said, no, I need you to write this down. And I stopped and wrote down what he said. And I think I played it for you and Deborah. And I know I didn't write that. Because I keep listening to it myself, because it's so all of that. And I'm like, I just listened to it. I'm like, God, I know you wrote it. There ain't nothing else to add to it. A person said to me, every sentence is defined without any questions behind it, wondering what it means. Every sentence is defined, and that's God. And I said, oh, my God. Then he said, now take it and do like a little video. And so I send it to Joy. And Joy said, I'll put some pictures behind it, and we'll put some music to it. And I thought, okay. And she did that, and we was working on it. And when she came back, I said, something's wrong with it. It sounds like somebody begging. You know, it just, and she said, it's the voice. Because that was a computer voice. I just had the computer to read it out loud so I could actually listen to it. And so I said, you're right. So then I called up my marketing team and said, look, this is what I need you all to do. I need you to take this and put it on a voiceover. And the young lady, the voice, her voice is anointed. She said, I'll do that. So she did the voiceover, And I told Joy, I said, you know what? We're going to take our pictures and send our pictures to them and let them do the video so it looks like all the other things that they've done for us. So I'm excited like a little kid waiting on that to come back. I was expecting it yesterday and didn't get it. And I know she's in Dallas speaking at a conference. And so I thought, well, Lord, I hope they send it today. And in the meantime, we got an extraordinary phone call yesterday that just let me know that we are on track with our calendar and some things that we have in place. So I'm just, the adrenaline, I feel like a little kid. I'm just running around, just popping in, just like excited. I mean, it's joy in my spirit. I can feel joy in my spirit. And I'm just like, golly, okay, Lord, this thing is exciting. So just a lot of excitement happening in, from last week to this one. Just, I mean, amazing things are happening and people and calling. And I just see God's hands. His hands is just moving. The things that he told us that we would happen, they are happening. And they're happening so fast that I'm trying to contain myself. But anyway, great week, great week, great week. Before I knew it, we were back here at this at the round table. I'm telling you, it's like we was here yesterday. So yeah, I thank God. And even with that, and I'm gonna say this, because you know, we sometimes can get so focused on the things that are happening in our life that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to focus, Deborah, on that dizziness. He probably just blowing your way, making you feel like, you know, if they and you're really not, because your body's healed. So we know these are just things that are not real, false evidence appearing to be real. So this is what he do to us. You know, keep your eye, keep your focus on something, a pain in your body or your blurry vision or something. He's gonna keep talking that up. But don't you know, since God gave me this peace and told me what to do and all this joy came into my, I have not thought about blurry vision. I have not thought about any of that stuff. It's just like, and the Lord said to me, when you get excited about my business, I get excited about yours. I said, Lord, and I'm telling you, my eyes cleared up. I was like, God, we focus on the wrong thing. We're so busy focusing on what we want, and we're not even considering what God wants us to do. We think we are, but you're not. You're always, oh, Lord, this, and oh, you're just thinking 24 hours a day. This bill got to be paid. What are we going to do about that? No, that's your junk. But if you say, I'm thinking about God, not say it. It's got to be real, because when it's real, it's in your spirit. It's just like, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. And I'm just like, oh, God, I can't sleep. I get up and I'm getting 2 hours of sleep and just bouncing around like I'm on a bounce house or something. Because what? I'm focused on what he's asking me to do, and I see him saying, okay. And I'm focusing on what you want. I'm focusing on what you want. Now, that's a message for somebody. You focus on what I ask you to do. Don't worry about what's going on in your world. I got that. You just focus on what I need you to do, because I need your body to get this done in the earth. Now, that'll preach all day right there. So that's my week. I you can tell I'm excited.
It's okay. Had to get it out.
I see, Lord, you know, because I went for months not being happy. I'm not being happy, but excited, because I was so busy trying to birth these babies, and I just like was burdened down, and that was because I brought all those conversations onto myself. I realized, Pastor, you created that monster. You created that environment that you live in, because you're so fresh. You got to get this right. Got to get this right. Had I just relaxed. And God has already got it done. Once I did relax, it just happened like that. Just boom, fast. So we all in training. I tell people all the time, this is, I'm still at the university, God's university, and I'm taking courses. And, you know, and as I take a course, you know, and I passed the course. You know, you get excited when you pass the course and you made an A. Oh, my God. You just want to just say, thank you, God. But I was making C pluses for a while and B's, and then all of a sudden I said, you know what? I'm just going to relax. And all of a sudden I'm hitting A's and balls out the park because it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit doing it through me because I'm allowing to do it. And this morning God just put another nugget in my head and told me to do something else. And I thought, oh, God. I was like, Jesus, this is a whole nother level. What in the world? Woo! Okay, we're not going to get to this show today. Let me get off of that. Any other comments before I move on?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. We rolling. Let God go. Let God do it.
I know. I have to have a private conversation with you, Deborah. I can't go on the air with all this today, but you know, I have to have a private conversation with a couple things. All right, ladies, I'm gonna go off, and I'll be right back to pick you up. All righty. Audience, I tell you, it's just an exciting time. You know, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Every day is a day we should thank God and I mean really thank him and appreciate him just for waking you up, just for saying, wake up. Wake up. I'm giving you a new day. I'm giving you new grace and new mercy. I'm giving you new joy. You got another, every day you get a measure of faith. You're not going to run out of faith. You got faith every day. You got new joy. You got new love. The chastisement of his body brings you new peace. And then you got to do forgiveness and, you know, just the whole fruit of the spirit and wisdom and understanding just sitting there waiting on you when you wake up. Favor just standing on the side. Just go to John 15:7. He said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. See, that's written in red letters. And what God showed me this week, the red letters, people say, oh, it's written in red letters. He said, no, I'm going to take you deeper than that. It's written in the blood of Jesus. Every red word you see in the Bible, that's written in the blood of Jesus. That's why it's red. Now, some of you may already know that. I never looked at it like that. And but when he showed it to me, I was like, oh, my God. So I laid my hands on the word because the word is soaked in the blood. And the blood covered this all. See, that's the world that you can create. By faith, if you believe it, you'll receive it. So when he told me that, I believe it. I said, well, this is the blood of Jesus. Then let me put my hands on it. Let me let it soak in. The more you conversate with God. And the more you be still and listen, the deeper he'll get with you. The more he'll share with you. When you give up your life for his life, you can't retain the joy. I'm telling you, I'm in such an atmosphere. It is drunkening atmosphere. I can't tell you what it feels like, but it is an amazing space in spirit. And in order to get there, you gotta be still. You know, you gotta, I don't know. I can't tell you. You just got to go to God. Go to Jesus. He'll tell you. Because I don't know. I can only tell you about me. I'm focusing on just holding on to this as long as I can. Because it's a different feeling. it's a different feeling. It's like being reborn and multiplying it 100 times. Oh, but that's not our topic for today. That's the good news I just shared with you. I'm going to share some more good news. We're going to move to another topic. The topic today is mothers and daughters. Is there anything too hard for God? This came out of Jeremiah 32:27. Now, this was brought to my attention when I was listening to testimonies on YouTube. And, you know, I suggest that you all do that. I was listening to, it's called 4-Hour Testimonies, and there's several on YouTube, of course. When this one was 4 hours. And I didn't listen to the whole 4 hours at a time. I listened to so much every night, and I listened to these testimonies. And I've done it before, but the Spirit brought me back to it again. Just popped up, listened to them again. So I'm listening to some of the same ones that I listened to before, and I'm hearing something totally different. I'm seeing something totally different. I'm like, I listened to this thing before. How did I miss this? This person was there. I didn't hear. You see, just like a Bible verse, you can read it 100 times, and every time you get new revelation. But this gentleman was talking about his wife that had breast cancer and how he'd been a preacher for 37 years and how he just could not understand how God allowed his wife to get breast cancer. So he said he just asked around, who's the best doctor? Because I'm going to look for the very best person for my wife. And they said, well, I don't think he'll talk to you because you're not Rockefeller. You're not Bill Gates. You're not wealthy enough. He said, just tell me where he's at. And he went. And the lady said to the receptionist, you know, do you have an appointment? And he said, no, but just tell him the bishop is here. Now, when I heard him say that, I said to myself, okay. The doctor may say, the bishop, what bishop? But see, he'd already talked to God about it. And he'd already asked God to fix it. He'd already sent the Holy Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, I need you to touch his heart. So when I get there, he'll receive me. Now, he didn't say that. But if you know how the Holy Spirit works and you can look back in your past and ask the Holy Spirit for help and even down to finding your keys, he's going to help you. So I'm listening and hearing all this as he's talking. And I'm thinking and just going along with him. And he got in there and he presented his case to the doctor. And the doctor said he would look at her. He brought his wife. The doctor said he would operate on her. The doctor operated on her. He's just thinking, oh, you know, she's in the best care. Thank you, God. I brought her to the best person there is that can take care of the situation. And when the doctor finished, he came back and told him the cancer had spread so bad there was nothing he could do. He said, so I want you to prepare yourself. She's going to die because it's just been spread too far. And he said he went back to his office at the church. And he rolled and cried on the floor like a little kid, talking to God. God, I don't understand. I preached for you for 37 years. Now I've been an upright man. I've been an upright man. I've served you. I don't understand it. And all of a sudden, the Spirit told him to get the Bible. He said he got the Bible and, you know, he probably wasn't in the best of mood. He got the Bible and I just opened it up. And when he opened it up, it opened 32:27. And it says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? This is what God said to Jeremiah. He said when he read it, he jumped up. Spirit told him, get up. He got up, wiped his face, ran, took the Bible, jumped in his car, went to the hospital, opened it up to his wife, and he said, baby, read this. And she read it. And he said, when she read it, she says, help me up. I'm ready to leave. He helped her up. They walked down the hallway a couple of times, saying it, came back. She got dressed, took her home. And he said, and she's sitting over there. That was 16 years ago. Just from that one Bible verse, it only take one. God will meet you where you are. Just that one. And Jeremiah, when he asked Jeremiah, Jeremiah said to him, is there anything too hard for me? I can imagine him saying, Jeremiah, no, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you to do. And that's what I can imagine this lady said. He didn't say, she said, but you know they said it. They said it in the spirit. No, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you to do. And they believed it when they said it. And that Bible verse has stuck with me for the last few days. I say it in the morning. I say it during the day. And at night, I wake up in the middle of the night. It's still repeating. It's like a revolving word, just repeating words, repeating over and over and over. I said, God, there is nothing too hard for you to do. Nothing. But just think about it. He went into the flesh. He said, behold. Okay, we're going to say, behold. And then he comes back. He said, I am the Lord. He said, and who are you, Bessie? I am. See, when you say I am, you know then you are talking, I am the Lord. I am. I am is I am, and I am is God, and it's never going to change. So every time you say I am, you're talking about God. So I am what? I am God. I am the Lord, he said, the Lord, the God of all flesh. So now, I want you to look at your flesh. Take your time and just look at your arm. Pinch your flesh. Now, that's pinching God. He says, I am the God of all flesh. So we wonder, God, where are you? Touch your flesh. I'm right here. That's why he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you because I am you. I am your flesh. Now, he's not a man that can lie. If he told Jeremiah, I am the God of all flesh. He didn't say, I'm the God of some flesh. I'm the God of your flesh, Jeremiah. He said, I am the God of all flesh. So all flesh is me. It is I. And I am the flesh. So if you got flesh, you got God. So there's no sickness in the flesh because God can't get sick. But you got to have faith. You got to believe that what he said is true. I am the flesh. So when people say, God, where are you? I'm waiting on you, God. I've just been waiting and waiting, God. Where are you? And they got their hands over the face, and God is saying, I'm right here. Where are you, God? And they're rubbing their hands all across the face. They're wiping their eyes. God said, I'm right here. Where? I'm in your hands. Where? I'm on your face. Where? I'm your flesh. Oh, God, where are you? I can't see you. unlearned. You don't have a relationship with God. You haven't read his word enough. That's why we have to keep reading. Because you get revelation every day. We're still learning. We're still on this journey. We're still in the middle of a process. And you just keep reading. Sometimes people say, well, you got to read a whole chapter. You know, that's okay. But sometimes that's too much to even comprehend. You get too much. Find the Bible verses that connect to what you're going through. You can't absorb the whole Bible. It's hard to absorb a whole chapter. That's a lot of revelations. That's a lot of Bible verses to comprehend. But if you could just hold on to one thing, that would give you so much revelation. Only receive so much information without going overboard. The Spirit of God is so strong, so broad, so comprehensive. And even with this Bible verse, there's so much to it. I'm only sharing some of the tidbits that he told me. Some just lying in my spirit. That just, he just showed me some things and he's just lying there and I'm processing it. But it let me know. You can walk by faith, Bessie. Just say it. Think about it. See it. Believe it. And you shall have it. And that's what's being processed through me now. I'm seeing things. God is speaking to me. I'm thinking about it. Like, oh, God, really? Got the vision on it. Really, God? Wow. Someone asked me this week. Oh, so do you have the funding to do that? I said, no. They were like, oh. I said, but I don't worry about the funding. The funding always show up. I stopped worrying about money long, long time ago. I don't worry about no money. Everything I've gotten in my hands, God's given it to me. And it's without sorrow and it's paid for. And all I had to do was look back at all the things that he's done. And things that I've asked for. And once I settled down and he said, go look for this. When I go look for it, it's paid for. And he told me last week, go look for this. And I started looking for it. And the person told me, oh, do you have the money for it, your budget? You know, people love to ask me, what is your budget? You don't have a budget. Well, now, you know, that's not business sense, but I'm a peculiar person. I don't talk business. I've been in business almost 37 years. I've done the traditional world business. I know how to make money by creating programs and going into corporations and teaching. I've done that. But then that's not the way the kingdom works. The kingdom don't work about you just putting your budget together. The kingdom work, you do the work, God's got the budget. When you come up to the counter to pay for it, God is going to be there. That's faith. And when I said that to him, I didn't say all that to him. I just said, no. I said, no, I don't have the money right now to do that. But I have the money. When the right thing come up, the money will be there. Oh, okay then. All right. You know, people don't want to do business with you like that. You know, do you have your business plan? Oh, well, we need to see your business plan. No, I don't have a business plan. I have what I completed. But the business plan is in God's hand. That's his plan. He's not giving me his whole business plan. Why would he give me his whole business plan? I couldn't even comprehend it. He just let me work in the vineyard. I'm going to need you to go over to field A. And I need you to pull the weeds from in between the corn so that they can grow. That's all I got. He's not telling me about what else is in the field that's 10 miles down the road. I just need you to do this right here. Pull the weeds out of this corn, row of corn. And if you're not a farmer and you've never been on a farm, you don't know what I'm talking about, but corn is placed in the field and they are in rows. And sometimes you get weeds and stuff that grow. And when weeds grow around the stalk of anything or any vegetable, it can choke it out and it'll die. So you want to pull that out. And so it's called weeding out the grass or the crab grass and stuff. So you go in and the guy said, that's all I want you to do now. And when you finish that, you can rest. So that's the way I feel about the matriarch now. And I pull the weeds out and all I got to do now is rest. But now he says, okay, now I'm going to need you to go over to field B because I need you to do this piece with the matriarch piece. And I need you to clean this up and do this. And then, you know, this morning he told me, now I need you to do this. And I'm like, okay, I ain't even finished doing that over there. Well, you know, hey, finish that. And it's almost finished. Finish that. But now I need you to concentrate on this. So I'm going to write out what he said today. It seemed like I'm getting the stuff on Saturday now. So I'm going to write out what he told me today. And I'm like, wow, okay. I know you got to have this prepared because this right here, I know you got to have this prepared, Lord. And I'm having a good time. And because I have the joy of the Lord in my spirit, because there's a joyful place and he's happy within me, he's like, okay, now I want you to do this. Okay, let's do this, God. That's my attitude. Let's do this. I'm going, as soon as I get off the radio, I'm going to write this up and I'm going to get it out to where you tell me to send it. I'm ready. Like a child. Like a child playing in the Garden of Eden. I'm playing and all the animals are playing with me. The butterflies are flying. The sun is out. The birds are chirping. Even the music is playing very, very low. Gotta go. To God be the glory. My Lord, my Lord. Lord Jesus. Cynthia, good morning. Back to you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, Dr. Fletcher, you and I, we talked a little bit, and you shared that story with me, and it really just brings everything back to the words we're standing on this month. It took that gentleman to do his part. And his part was he went and found the doctor he thought can help his wife because faith without works is dead. He went and found him. After being told what he was told, even though we don't know if he went to God before he found this doctor and he prayed for his wife, blase, blase. We don't know that part, but we do know that after he was told that his wife was going to die, he turned to God. And being that he turned to God, he reminded God of some of the things that he had done for him. God, in his faithfulness, turned around and healed his wife. So we need to know that we can take back what the enemy has stolen, our health. We need to know that we can expand our faith by going back to God, trusting him. Because it's impossible to please God if you don't trust him. And so thinking possible, all things are possible with Christ who strengthened us. And because he was no longer in despair, he got up. He got up and went to his wife. He executed based on what he had read. He executed the next step. Going to his wife and getting her on board for them to be in on one accord, believing God for her healing. So she will live and not die to see the glory of God in her life because she was healed. And now she has that testimony. She's unstoppable because she know now when the enemy comes after her, she know where her refuge lies in Christ. And so those are the words we're standing on this time, audience. The Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministry, Matriarch Now, we are standing on these words because we are determined to take back what the enemy has stolen. God will expand our territory as a result because we're doing our part. And so with that, Dr. Fletcher, good stuff. I shared with you when you shared that story with me about my son and how God, this is a close one, guys, because my son was healed from cancer in 2015. And that's a whole nother story about how it all went down. We'll share it another time. But I know God to be a healer. I know God to be a supplier. Because like Dr. Fletcher said, in all that we've gone through in this ministry, for 15 years, this is our 15th year, Dr. Fletcher, by the way. God's grace. There's a 5 and 15, God's grace. We have done our part. And so now we are trusting God in 2023 to bring it full circle because we're determined to trust in the Lord. He said, if we don't faint, it shall come to pass. And God is not a man that can lie, nor the son of man that should lie. So we are trusting God that 2023 is our set time to take possession of what God has for us. Thank you for letting me share.
Wow. 15 years. Lord God. But, you know, it's so amazing that even though we're looking at the time, it's the blink of an eye for the Lord. Isn't that something?
Woo. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. All right. Let's bring Deborah in here. Deborah. If we can get her. Oh, Deborah? I don't know what's going on.
Oh,
okay.
That's it. There we go. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Wow. I tell you, you was talking about earlier before you opened up about getting B's and C pluses and when you learn to relax and let God drive, you start making A's. And so I was just standing here because I feel like whenever I'm getting ready to speak, I got to stand up. I'll be on the couch until it's time when that mic open up on my feet. There's something about, I don't know. But anyway, so when I stood up now, I looked at, I have a nice cross, and on the cross, I have my medallion for when I graduated with a bachelor's degree. And then it went back to me. Is there anything too hard for God? A middle school dropout, not high school, eighth grade dropout. Flunked the eighth grade twice. Ain't never, ever, ever got an A in nothing but PE because I like sports. And so I'm going to dress out. I'm going to participate. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to do everything you tell me to do because I like that. And to finish with the bachelor degree as an honor roll student for 6 straight years, that's God. Not me. Dang, nothing. He gave me a opportunity to give it to him. And he says, if you do it with integrity, Deborah, I'll bless you. I'll hold you up. I'll make you be the top of your class. He said, because I know that you really want to do this. And I'm saying, God, well, you know, God, I could read and write it. You know, all that. But God says, I'm going to do it. And so what I'm trying to say is there's nothing impossible with God. God said the problem don't lie with me because I can hold my hand. The problem lies with if you believe. In Matthew 9:23, Jesus said to him, if thou can believe, if. That's a word that we got to, if. Thou can believe all things are possible to him that believes. So God said, if you can believe that I can take a middle school dropout and that I can let her be on the honor roll
and joined the fraternity. I don't know which group it was now, sorority and all of that. If I could do that, but your problem going to be if you can believe. So he puts it back on us saying, ain't nothing impossible for me. I can do it. Oh, God. He says over in Matthew's, Jesus looked to them and said, with man, this is impossible. He was saying, Douglas, it's impossible for you to be able to get all those grades. It's impossible. He said, but with me, it's possible. He said, so you, if you do your part, and my part was to do it with integrity, to never turn in a paper that wasn't mine, to never be cheating and eyeballing somebody reckless over there looking at their paper because they so smart. To never be doing all the things that I know I shouldn't be doing when it comes to being a student. He said, if you could do it with integrity, if you could turn down your plate, in other words, if you could not go to the movies every time your friend want to go out, if you could miss some gatherings, if you could stay up some late nights, if you could put in your part, ain't nothing too hard for me. He said, but if you do your part, I got you. So God is saying, I could do anything. He said, but y'all got to play a position. You just don't show up to the team and think you're going to start every time you want to come to rehearsal. Come on now, even in the choir, if you don't rehearse this week, you don't sing. You don't get to get up there. You can glorify God on the bench. He said, but I'm going to let you in the game if you come and you show up and you do your part. So he says, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So he puts it back on us. He said, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm God. I said, let there be, and it is. I said, let it don't be, and it ain't. He said, the king of the heart is in the hand of the Lord, and I turn it whatever way I wish. And I remember that when I was waiting on that clemency. I remember that in 1996. The king of the heart, Governor Child, he said, there's something about Governor Denise that I cannot shake. God is dealing with me about her. Life sentence, doomed to die in prison. He said, God is dealing with me about her. I can't sleep. He said, when a man ways pleases me, he'll make your enemies be at peace. Then the state was the enemy because the state wouldn't put me there. Well, yeah, I played a part. Come on, I didn't just get there. I played a part. But the governor says, I cannot rest. God is dealing with me. See, he was turning his heart. He was turning his heart. So he said, ain't nothing too hard for me. He said, I made man blow the breath of him in my image. Every morning we breathe his breath. He said, ain't nothing too hard for me. So he said, let's bring it back home. If you can believe, put it back on us. So you saying, no, Lord, it ain't happening, Lord. No faith. You faithless, like the disciples said, well, we couldn't cast them out, those demons. He said, you a little faith. He said, you got to believe. And you just got to set it up to where you know that you know that you know. And like I say, every time I get ready to speak, it comes attack. But I done got to the point now where this would be expected. But God always shake it off. He always. Because he don't want me to, you know. But God say, hey, if you can believe I'll bring you through this. Just look like how I brought you through other times. When he brought this on you, and that on you, doubt and all that other stuff, he said, just trust in me. Like you say, when I relax, God let it flow. He said, so there's nothing impossible with me. He said, can you believe that I'm able to do the things that you need me to do? He said, it's like a child coming to the daddy saying, daddy, can you lift this for me? I can't lift it. The child got to know some kind of way that the daddy is capable of lifting it. And he lifts it for her. He's like, I ain't going to put no more on that you can bear. It's like kids bringing in the grocery with you. You don't give a four-year-old a case of water because he can't bear it. You give him maybe a liter soda, a bottle liter, but not a whole case of water. So God said, I ain't going to put no more on that you can bear. He said, but at times I'm going to have to put some stuff on you, though. He said, but if you can believe that when I put it on you, I'm going to take it off you at the point in time. Well, there's a reason why I got to weigh you down with some stuff. So I need you to see that without me, you can't, but with me, you can. You say, if you believe.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Jesus. That's good
if
stuff.
If you believe.
Wow.
Amen.
Well, you know, I don't even know what to say, to tell you the truth. It's, let me see where I get. Trying to, okay, I'm mashing buttons, clicking buttons all over the place. But this whole message, it's not a hard message. It's a simple message. And sometimes the simple thing is what confine the wise, because they think you're so wise, you want to pass it. But God has spoken today, and I pray that this message reach as many mothers and daughters and fathers and sons around the world, because they need to know in their hearts and their soul that nothing is too hard for God to do if you believe. And what Cynthia read out this, today, it was our words. Ask God for a word. Ask God for a word. Let that be your word. When the enemy try to come against you, you tell him, no, this is my sword, 23, my sword for the year. And mine was live. So when stuff come and look like it's like, no. I live. My money live. My cars live. See, don't just look at your body. My children live. My new house live. My new community live. Whatever it is, you got to breathe life into it, because God, when he built it, he created it, and he put life into it. See, the one thing about you say it, and the Holy Spirit does the work. That's the life. The Holy Spirit is the breath of life. And it shall happen. It shall, if you believe. So, good show, ladies. Good show. This is amazing.
Amen. Amen.
It's amazing. Well, Deborah, when you speaking
Amen.
Today?
I didn't hear you.
I said, are you speaking today?
No, it's the 23rd and 24th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Maybe a week or so.
All right, then. Well, Cynthia, good job. Everybody
yes,
have a good week. We all on it. I pray that the joy of the Lord stay in our spirits and our soul, and that it increase as we just keep seeing him and doing what he asked us to do. Great show. Thank
and
you,
and that's the key right there, Dr. B. That's the key. Executing what he has purposed in our hearts. That gives you joy when you're doing what thus says the Lord. That's why Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only go where he tells me to go, and I only say what he tells me to say. It's really a simple message, like you say.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes people can't, you know, we got to hear things over and over again. We do it ourselves. We got to hear it over and over again. That's why we read the Bible. We read the same chapters over and over again. I read the same verses because, you know, we want more and more and more, more and more understanding. Wisdom and understanding.
Absolutely.
You know, wisdom and understanding.
Absolutely.
All right, ladies, I'll be right
Amen.
Back.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Father God.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's it, ladies. Have a good weekend and a great week. And I pray that this week be even more prosperous and blessed than the past week, in Jesus' name. Goodbye,
Amen.
Audience.
Amen.
All right.
Bye, audience. Love you guys.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.